but Arcibald was crestfallen, disappointed in me for having backed down without a fight.
"Remember that this came up in connection with Saint Evanedric," Arcibald said. "A Theor who spent the first half of his life working rigorous calculations having to do with principles of action in various kinds of configuration spaces. I don't think he was merely speaking poetically when he suggested that human consciousness is capable of—"
"Don't go 100 on us now," Jessery snorted. Arcibald froze, mouth open, face turning red.
"It is sufficient for now to have broached this topic," Orlo decreed. "We'll not settle it here. Not on empty stomachs, anyway."
Taking the hint, Leo, Tullia, and Ayla took their leave, headed for the kitchen. Ayla shot a frosty look over her shoulder at Jessery, then leaned in close to Tullia to make some remark. I knew exactly what she was complaining about. Jessery had been the one who had brought up the profusion of outcomes argument in the first place, but when Arcibald had tried to develop it, he had gotten cold feet and backed out, even mocked Arcibald. Arcibald wasn't happy about it either and began to pursue Jessery across the cloister, disputing the point.
"Back to where we were," Orlo continued. "Why do you worry so much, Erasmus? Are you doing nothing more productive than imagining pink nerve gas farting dragons? Or do you have a particular gift for tracing possible futures through hemmed space, tracing them, it seems, to disturbing conclusions?"
"You could help me answer that question," I pointed out, "by telling me whether you are thinking of leaving."
"I spent almost all of Apert extramuros," Orlo said with a sigh, as if he had finally been run to ground. "I was expecting that it would be a wasteland, a cultural and intellectual charnel house. But that's not exactly what I found. I went to Spieles. I enjoyed them. I went to bars and got into some reasonably interesting conversations with people. Slines. I liked them. Some were quite interesting, and I don't mean that in a bug under a microscope way. They have stuck in my mind. Characters I'll always remember. For a while, I was quite seduced by it. Then one evening, I had an especially lively discussion with a slime who was as bright as anyone within this consent. And somehow, toward the end, it came out that he believed that the sun revolved around Arb. I was flabbergasted, you know. I tried to disabuse him of this. He scoffed at my arguments. It made me remember just how much careful observation and theoretical work is necessary to prove something as basic as that Arb goes around the sun. How indebted we are to those who went before us. And this got me to thinking that I'd been living on the right side of the gate after all."
He paused for a moment, squinting off toward the mountains, as if judging whether he should go on to tell me the next part. Finally, he caught me giving him an expectant look and made a little gesture of surrender.
"When I got back, I found a packet of old letters from Estimard," he said.
"Really?"
"He'd been posting them from Bly's Butte once every year or so. Of course, he knew that they'd be impounded until the next Apert. He told me of some observations he had made, using a telescope he had built up there, grinding the mirror by hand and so forth. Good ideas, interesting reading. Certainly not the quality of work he had produced here, though."
"But he was allowed to go up there," I said, gesturing toward the Starhenge. Orlo thought that was funny.
"Of course. And I trust that we shall be readmitted to it one day before too long."
"Why? How? What basis do you have for that?"
I had to ask, though I knew he wouldn't answer. "Let us say I am too gifted with the faculty that you have for envisioning how things might play out."
"Thanks a lot. Oh, and I can also put that faculty to work imagining what it would be like to be a feral," he said.
"Estimard's letters make it plain that this is a hard way to live."
"Do you think he made the right choice?"
"I don't know," Orlo said, without hesitation. "These are big questions. What does the human organism seek? Beyond food, water, shelter, and reproduction, I mean.
Happiness, I guess.
Which is something you can get in a shallow way simply by eating the food that they eat out there," Orlo pointed out. "And yet still the people extramuros yearn for things. They join different kinds of arcs all the time. What's the point in that?"
I thought about Jessery's family and mine.
I guess people like to think that they are not only living, but propagating their way of life.
That's right.
People have a need to feel that they are part of some sustainable project, something that will go on without them. It creates a feeling of stability. I believe that the need for that kind of stability is as basic and as desperate as some of the other more obvious needs. But there's more than one way to get it. We may not think much of the Sline subculture, but you have to admit, it's stable. Then the Burgers have a completely different kind of stability.
As do we.
As do we. And yet it didn't work for Estimard. Perhaps he felt that living by himself on a butte would fill that need better.
Or maybe he just didn't need it as much as some of us, I suggested.
The clock chimed the hour.
You're going to miss a fascinating talk by Sua Fretta, Orlo said.
That sounded kind of like changing the subject, I pointed out.
Orlo shrugged. Subjects change. You'd best adapt.
Well, I said,
all right, I'll go to her talk, but if you're going to leave, don't just walk out of this place without letting me know, please.
I promise to give you as much advance knowledge as I can if such a thing is going to happen, he said, in an indulgent tone as if talking to a mentally unhinged person.
Thank you, I said.